Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to On Air with Russell of Hotels, only on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome to On Air with Russell of Hotels, where we talk about everything hospitality, from hotels to influencers and everything in between. We will feature guest interviews with hospitality professionals who will share their experiences. Your host, Russell Edmond, has spent over 25 years in the hospitality industry, beginning his career with Marriott International in hotel operations, before moving into the sales arena and becoming a relationship-building director of sales and marketing. Russell then went to the other side as a hospitality entrepreneur. He now consults in the hotel and meeting space, which includes being the CEO of Russell of Hotels Group. Did I mention he was a veggie foodie? Yes, Russell is always looking for good non-meat eats. Please welcome your host, Russell Edmond.
Hello, and thank you for joining the On Air with Russell Hotels show, live radio show, hashtag Hospitality Unplugged. Hope all is well. Hope you guys are having a great day. I am. Today is Tuesday, so that means we're a live show, 1 o'clock every Tuesday. We do it live from Sherman Oaks, California. The weather today is clear. It's like 89 degrees. They say the high is going to be like 92, which is too hot for me. So I'm glad the air conditioner is working today. It was a couple of weeks ago. It was not. And I had a fan in here. So thank goodness for that. But all is well. What'd you guys do this weekend? I had a great weekend. Actually went to the Charger and Texans game at the, what is it called? It used to be the StubHub Center in Carson. Now it's called the Dignity Health Center or Stadium. I don't know. Dignity Health Stadium, I guess that's what it's called. Something like that. But anyway, it was a good game, but it was hot as heck out there. You sit on one side and the sun is on, you know, the other side. And then as you get to the second half, the sun is on your side and it's like it's beating. I mean, it's just too hot. It was like Blythe hot. And if you've been to Blythe before, you know what I mean. It was Blythe hot out there and it was too much sun and it almost chased us out of there. But we managed to stay to probably midpoint to the fourth quarter and then say, hey, let's get out of here to beat the traffic and all that kind of stuff. But it was a good game, though. Good game. I mean, too bad Chargers lost, but I wasn't there. It didn't matter to me. I mean, I just love football. I'm not a big Charger fan, not a Texan fan. I just want to see a good game, and I think that's what I ended up seeing, a good game. So hope all is well. I keep saying it, hope all is well, but I have to ask, right? Is everything okay? Everything going okay? Well, that's good. Industry news. Let's jump right into it. Mr. Baron Hilton died. Baron Hilton was the chairman of the Hilton Corporation. Actually spent 30 years as the CEO back in the day. So he actually took it from where his dad had it. And for 30 years, I mean, made it to what it is today. So I think he had been out of the game for a while. Of course, you know, the family, I think they sold it. I can't think. Blackstone, I believe, owns Hilton for the most part, a majority share. But, you know, of course, they have influence over it. But I worked for Hilton before, so my condolences go out to the Hilton family for the passing of Mr. Baron Hilton. And I think that was earlier this week or maybe over the weekend. And he was 91 years old. British tour operator Thomas Cook Travel. Did you guys hear about this one? Excuse me. They ended up closing their doors. I mean, now, Thomas Cook was a huge travel tour agency out of Great Britain, I believe. They shut down the operation on Sunday, leaving between 150,000 and 750,000 people stranded throughout the world. 16 countries, okay? They operated out of 16 countries, 21,000 employees either you're out of a job or 750,000 people were left to try to find their way back home. Now, not to mention the hotels that, you know, that the travel agent owed money to, airlines, tour companies, transportation, you know, all the, you know, everything that's included in doing tours throughout the world. I mean, they're basically left holding the bag. I'm not sure what happened. They were sitting there having financial difficulties and things like that. But who saw this coming? Did anyone see this one coming? And it has a huge ripple effect. I mean, it's one company, you would think, right? But how many companies were intertwined with Thomas Cook Travel? I mean, you got hotels, you have restaurants, retail, transportation companies. You have all these companies that are intertwined, smaller companies, of course, but they all still were intertwined with Thomas Cook. So when they leave the scene, that leaves them holding the bag. I mean, there's money owed, there's things that are going on, and it's the dust hasn't even settled yet. I mean, this is just tip of the iceberg. This just happened Sunday night, something like that. So wait for other stuff to happen, right? I mean, there's going to be a huge ripple effect throughout the travel agent community. I think a lot of people don't even know that we still have travel agencies out there. But yeah, there's actually a lot more travel agencies than you think that are still operating. Some are mom and pop. Some are companies, you know, the size of Thomas Cook. Thomas Cook has been around a long time. Like, I want to say over 100, I think it said over 150 years it's been around. I don't know what they were doing 150 years ago, but, you know, horse and buggy tours. I don't know. Maybe that's what they were doing, but they've been around a long time. They were pre-internet, you know, days, right? I mean, that wasn't 150 years ago. That was, you know, 30 years ago or so. But they were doing things before the internet became big. And of course they thrived because of the internet as well. And did you know that they own 5 airlines? In fact, I always wondered when I go to LAX, and I want to say it was Terminal 6, 7, or 8, it would say Thomas Cook Travel. So they actually have their own airline. But then we look at their ratings for the airline, and, you know, they're out of 10 stars, they get 1. So, I mean, that says a lot about that company as well. I just report the facts. I mean, I'm not making this stuff up. I'm just reporting. I needed a drink of water. So thank everyone for joining me. I just want to make sure that everyone knows that, you know, we're live every Tuesday at 1 o'clock. I know I said it earlier, but we're on LATalkRadio.com as well as Facebook Live as well. So go under Facebook Live. Go on to Facebook, type in LA Talk Radio, and then you'll see me doing my thing, whatever that is, talking in the mic. So I just want to make sure I don't forget about that. What else? Top travel hashtags. Now, the last couple of weeks I've been talking about hashtags and social media and things like that and having the right hashtag. So today I thought I would give you guys some, right? Top travel hashtags, top hotel hashtags, just so you know when you're hashtag or when you're sending things out, pictures, photos, videos, that you're using the proper hashtags to go somewhere, because everything has to go somewhere, right? If you just hashtagging, you know, photo of me and whatever, it may not go anywhere, right? You may not have the reach that some of these other hashtags have. So just want to make sure we are doing what we're supposed to do in the social media world. Travel, vacation, Travel Tuesday. I don't know why that's a popular hashtag, but that is. And today happens to be Tuesday, right? Maybe you can put in Taco Tuesday too. I know that's a big hashtag too. So hashtag Taco Tuesday. Travel blog, travel blogger, traveling, tourist, tourism, trip, explore. Those are all top. I don't know how many that is. 1, 2, 3. Probably 10, right? Try that, my top 10. They had more, but I just say, you know, I'm going to limit it to top 10. So what I'm going over are top, that was just the top travel hashtags. Now these are the top hotel hashtags. Of course, which one would be number one? Hotel. Hotel or hotels, hashtag best hotels, luxury hotels, boutique hotels, luxury traveler, pool, who knew, and hotel deals. Those are the top hotel hashtags. And then popular hashtags specifically on Instagram to get more reach. You know, when you say reach, what is the reach? Reach is people that don't follow you, But if you put the right hashtags, they'll see your postings because it's based on the hashtags. Photo of the day, pick of the day, Insta travel, Insta good, Insta daily, Travelgram, best of the day, IG daily, Insta food. That's my favorite one. So, and I haven't used that one before. So anytime I post food, I need to, you know, hashtag Insta food, and it'll get probably more traction. I get more reach. So I'm going to try it and let you guys know. Excuse me. Now I come up with these, I have two websites you guys need to check out. And this is for cheap airline flights, cheap international airline flights. Skyscanner.com. You may have heard of these. I don't know, but I just happened to be at a show and I was talking to someone or speaking with someone during, you know, our meeting or one-on-one. And she had mentioned, I don't even know how this came up, but it was had to do with traveling to Europe or traveling to the, I think this girl happened to represent Aruba, Hilton in Aruba. And she was talking about how inexpensive some of the airfares were if you go on certain sites. I said, well, what sites do you use? You know, millennial, right? So, you know, they know everything, right? So I said, which ones do you use? And she said, Skyscanner.com and Momondo.com. So Skyscanner, Skyscanner.com. And then Momondo or Momondo. I'll just say Momondo. Momondo.com. Okay, so those are two websites for inexpensive airline flight tickets. So check it out. Let me know. Let me know what you think about that. So, because, you know, I always rely on those, the millennials, to tell you things, right? Because they know things that no one else knows. So they're trying to keep secrets from us. So I got at least one secret there. So make sure you use it and let me know what you think about it. Excuse me. Shout out to Dan Daftari. Who knows Dan? I know Dan. Dan's a good friend of mine. Hotel Residences. That's his company. That's one of his companies. And then he's a co-founder of this company called Sleep Coco. COCO. They make or they design pillows. It was an article, and I posted this on my LinkedIn page, and I shared the article with the world. And it has to do with getting a good night's sleep in hotels. And it said, travelers deserve a good night's sleep. And it said, develop a pillow to aid in a good night's rest. So, and it happened to be Dan, who I've known for a number of years. In fact, Dan is my go-to guy when, you know, you need to bounce things off of industry things. He didn't come from the industry. He had another background, but he kind of immersed himself and started his own online company, which was similar to like a, I don't know, I guess an Expedia or whatever, but it had to do with long-term stays. So he specifically does long-term stays. That's what hotelresidences.com is. That's what they do, right? So his job is to find hotels or people that look for only long-term stays. That's his niche. So, but then he got with someone and co-founded this company called Sleep Co. So check out the interview, and there's a couple quotes in there from Dan as far as, you know, what clients are looking for. I guess you even have some at some hotels, boutique hotels probably specifically, or maybe your higher end hotels, they have pillow menus. So you want one with, I guess, goose feathers, or one that's made of polyester, or one that has cocoa beans or coffee. I don't know exactly what's in the pillows, but it's something that's supposed to, you have a choice in the matter. Some hotels give you a choice and it's supposed to lead to a better sleep. I personally don't use any pillows at all because I'd rather sleep on the thing. But that's my own hang up. I just rather sleep on the mattress. That's my own hang up. But if you're trying to watch TV and you needed to prop up, okay, I use it for that. But as far as sleeping, I don't really use pillows. But I've seen the pillow before. It is nice. And it's, I think it's, is it called hypoallergenic? You know, it doesn't have any, if you have allergies, it won't cause any allergies. It won't cause you to sneeze. It doesn't have any feathers. So some people are allergic to feathers, right? But it's supposed to be a good pillow. I felt it before. He never gave me one. Isn't that funny? I'm talking about his company. He never gave me a pillow. But anyway, that's okay. That was before the radio show. So check out that LinkedIn article. It has to do with travelers deserving a good night's sleep at hotels. Okay. And Dan Daftari, good friend of mine. So check that out. What is meeting influencer marketing? Now, I've talked about this, I talked about this last week as well. What is meeting influencer marketing? It's used to drive traffic and awareness to your events. Okay. So, and I mentioned, you know, if, you know, customers trust their peers, friends, and people they admire more than companies selling products and promotions. So if you see somebody like, say, well, I'll just use me as an example because it's easy for me to do that. You know, you see me at a hotel and I'm, you know, taking random pictures of a hotel, whatever. I mean, I try to take the picture of the whatever, if it's a bedroom, if it's a bed, if it's the food in the restaurant, if it's the surrounding, like say if it's a golf course or whatever, I'm taking a picture of that. Now, am I in all the pictures? No, I'm not in all the pictures. But would you trust me to come and stay at this hotel versus if someone is a paid advertising, you know, they're just trying to get people there. You know, they sort of using an actor who probably never been there. They just took the check and just, okay, yeah, I, you know, stay at this hotel, blah, 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 blah. Or would you trust someone that you trust, or would you take the word of someone that you trust, like i.e. a Russell of hotels? I don't know. And that's the question that, you know, you always ask when you're doing advertising, especially, you know, everybody's doing more advertising on Instagram and all the other social media opposed to TV because it's a lot cheaper, right? So that's why you have all these influencers and stuff like that. And that was the question I posed to myself. Am I an influencer? Someone actually asked me, was I an influencer? And things like that. I said, well, I guess I can't influence the meeting decision, but can I influence anything else? I don't know. I mean, like if I'm staying at this hotel and I happen to post a picture, were you going to be likely to stay there because Russell of hotels and you happen to know Russell, you trust his opinion? Maybe, maybe not. Or if it's, and I think I used the example of if it was The Rock, okay, The Rock is staying at, you know, the same hotel, or supposedly staying at the hotel, or is he just acting? Me, I'm trusted. I'm actually staying there, okay? I love this hotel. I'm staying there because I'm showing all the pictures. But does The Rock show the pictures? No, The Rock is just doing the commercial, and that's it. He's not showing pictures. He's not posting things on his Instagram page or whatever. So think about that, you know, when you're talking about influencers and hiring influencers and things like that. I don't know why I even said that, but just random. But it was still on my feed here, so I just thought I'd go over that too. But I have more information, you know, more new information. Contact information. How do you get a hold of me, Russell? I'm the Russell of Hotels, just in case people are just tuning in and say, who the heck is this guy? And what is he talking about? So I'm the Russell of Russell of Hotels. My contact information is russell@russellofhotels.com. That's my email address. Twitter, I'm at Russell of Hotels. IG, Russell of Hotels. LinkedIn, Russell L. Edmond. And Facebook. Facebook pages, Russell L. Edmond and Russell of Hotels. My website, www.russellofhotels.com. In fact, check out my blog. I updated my blog last week. I forgot to mention that during last week's show, but I'm caught up. So every trip that I take, and I have taken like probably 4 trips in the last month and a half, but I forgot, you know, I take a lot of pictures and I forget to upload them to my website. It's actually under the blog. So if you go under, you know, russellofhotels.com, click on the blog and you'll see all the pictures of places I went, places I ate, you know, kind of some of the things that we did. And it goes from Vancouver hotel. I stayed in Vancouver, some of the food we had, to the cruise and the Alaskan cruise, to some of the activities we did while on the Alaskan cruise, to Chicago, to Monterey, to Vegas. So all those things are there. So some pictures with IMAX, some pictures with some people, things like that. Check it out. Tell me what you think. This is a live show, like I said, but when it wraps, it becomes a podcast. Okay, so it's live right now. So I don't edit anything. So if I'm coughing like I just coughed, I don't edit that stuff out. You know, it's just what it is, what it is, right? So we just keep it rolling. If I happen to say something I shouldn't say, well, guess what? It's going to be there, right? And I try not to say anything I shouldn't say, But we are hashtag hospitality unplugged, which means I can say whatever I want to say and it's okay. Cause this is internet radio. So this is not the real, not real. I mean, it's a radio station. So of course it is real, but it's not, you know, you know, some of the other radio stations where they cannot say certain things. You can say whatever you want to say on here. You can cuss and all that stuff, but I don't cuss. So I would never cuss on that. And plus my mom listens to the show. So I would never do that. So we're on iTunes. So once it becomes a podcast, we're on iTunes, we're on Google Play, we're on every Spotify, anywhere you can find your favorite podcast, we're on those platforms. So just go Russell of Hotels and I'm there. On Air with Russell of Hotels, excuse me. On Air with Russell of Hotels, I'm there. Sponsorship opportunities. Now, a couple people have been asking me about this, about sponsorships, right? Yeah, of course. You can be brought to you by whatever. It just so happens that if you're on Facebook Live, you can actually see that the sponsor of today's show is Russell of Hotels. That's my company, right? So that's the sponsor of today's show. Get your message out to the right people. And someone, you know, when they ask about sponsorship, they say, well, who listens to your show? You know, and what about your feeder cities? Okay, of course I have that information. Hello. Who listens to my show? I would say about 50-50. 50% are hotel people, and that ranges from, you know, managers, line people, to general managers, to VPs, to owners of hotels, CEOs. Larry Broughton listens. He's the CEO of Broughton Hotels. He listens to my show. Jim, CEO, he listens to my show. So there's a lot of people that listen, and there's a lot of salespeople, a lot of operations people, like I said, general managers, directors of sales, they all listen to the show. The other 50% would be people to actually buy your hotel or your product, right? So your service or whatever. So what I mean by that, they're COOs or CEOs of just regular companies. They're sales people, other companies. I mean, it can be accounting companies. It can be law firms. It can be across the board. So those are people that actually can buy things. They can actually, you know, they have the money or the means to buy whatever I'm talking about. So if I'm talking about XYZ hotel down the street, they can, you know, utilize that hotel. So that's about it. So it's 50-50, 50% hotel people, 50% regular people that spend money in hotels who actually do travel. Because if you look at, because people say, well, you know, advertise on, let's just use YouTube. You know, people, there's a bunch of people that listen to YouTube or watch YouTube, but a lot of them are kids. Now, do they have the buying power to buy things? More than likely, no. So you're reaching people that you actually, you're reaching the right people. So you can actually target specific groups of people, right? The people that actually, because when you're advertising, that's what you want to do. You want to make sure you're targeting the right people. You're not doing a shotgun approach. You're doing a rifle approach to the right people. So just make sure you keep that in mind. Feeder cities, L.A., Orange County, San Francisco, Chicago, New York. And sometimes Atlanta's in there, too. When they kind of switch. Atlanta's kind of new. But for the most part, it's L.A. because I'm in L.A., right? But then you get Chicago, New York, San Francisco, Orange County. They just blanket all of Orange County. I don't know why it doesn't say specific city, but it does say Orange County. So, and then we reach as far as the Philippines. I don't know if you know Marilis Croc, who was on my show, who's at with Visit Anaheim. All her family in the Philippines, they listen. So I'm Facebook friends with all of them. So everybody in the Philippines, hello. Got people in Barbados that listen, people in the Bahamas. So people from around the world. Now I would think, because I met a lot of people at IMAX, and there's people in Europe, I would think there's some people in Europe that listen too. So people in Europe, if you happen to listen, just kind of chime in for me or send me an email or whatever and let me know that you do listen and you do love the content of the show. I would appreciate that. That way I can come on the show and say, hey, so-and-so in Europe listens to the show. So there you go. So there is a wide reach. And I have, you know, probably access to just off the top of my head, LinkedIn, 25,000 people follow me. Total for all platforms is probably a little bit over 50,000. So there you go. So we talked about who listens and what feeder cities are. What is the Russell of Hotels group? Hotel site selection, first and foremost, that's what I do. So my job is to help organizations, companies find the right hotel for their particular group. A group is what? 10 rooms or more, right? So 10 rooms or more, go up to thousands of rooms, right? To conventions and things like that. So nothing's too big for Russell of Hotels. No group is too small or too big, as long as it's 10 rooms. So that's the minimum. 10 rooms, it can go as high as it needs to go. So if you have any questions at all, please, I gave you my contact information. I'll give it to you again. Russell at russellofhotels.com. Just shoot me an email. Say, hey, I'm interested in doing this. Let me know what it is, and we'll move forward with that. Digital marketing. Check out my all the platforms that I have, IG, Twitter, Facebook. You see a lot of things that I post for hotels, for destinations, for, you know, things that tourism-based organizations post a lot of videos, a lot of pictures, places that I've been. And remember, if you're doing anything in social media, video will go a lot further than just still pictures, just so you know. And make sure your captions are right, meaning if you're taking a picture of, you know, the Eiffel Tower, make sure it says hashtag Eiffel Tower. You know what I mean? Just so people, so it references double. So you got the picture and you got the hashtag, that kind of thing. Hotel Task Force. I also do Task Force. So meaning, what is Task Force? Task Force is, say a hotel is deficient for a general manager or a director of sales and marketing, because I have experience in both of those. They need temporary help, you know, for 3 weeks. I did an assignment in Monterey about two months ago, something like that, for 3 weeks. They needed a general manager. They lost their general manager and they needed someone to assist. So I jumped in, they asked me, and I said, hey, let's do it. So I did it for 3 weeks. And then after that, they hire someone, and then I go back to my regular life, and then they hire somebody, and then they move on with their life. So it's a temporary help for a hotel. So I can do it for as a general manager, as well as for a director of sales and marketing. Radio show host. I talk about today's topics, whatever those are. I'm not afraid of any topic. It's just one of those things that just flows. I hope it flows. And I interview today's hospitality professionals too. Not today, but next week I'm going to have one, and I'll let you know who that's going to be. Who's on blast? What does being on blast mean? It's not a bad thing. These are just guests I want on the show, right? And I have to add somebody to the show today. Now, I got to mention these people's names. You're kind of off blast, but you're still on blast. Like Brian Churchill, you did agree to do the show. I have not reached out to you yet. That's my fault. But I still have to mention that you're on blast, right? So Brian Churchill, not on blast. He's on blast, but technically not, because he'd already agreed. But I got to mention his name anyway. So Brian Churchill, VP of LA Tourism. Kenya Bannister, you're still on blast, okay? I don't know what's going on with you. She's with she's VP with Long Beach CVB. You're still on blast, young lady. Luis Torres, you've been on blast for a minute. I don't know what's going on with you, Luis. But he's at Universal Studios in Hollywood. Stephanie Corsino, Hong Kong Tourism. You're on blast, lady. Sam Thompson and Matt Diamond, you guys agreed to come on the show too, but you kind of deferred it for a couple of weeks. You're still on blast, so come on, let's do it. Sam, give me a call. Sync Meeting Management, they manage their meeting. So if I book the meeting, I can say, hey, I'm going to refer you to Sam and Matt, because they have managed the meeting for you. That's a great team. That's all about collaboration, right? Sarah Dandashi, she's not on blast, but she's going to be the next guest. She's going to be on. She's going to be here next week. I think October 1st is next week. Am I right? Maybe I'm right. I think so. But yeah, so Sarah is going to be on the show. So make sure you listen. She goes by the name of Ask a Concierge. So if you were to look up, you know, on IG and things like that, or her social media platforms, Ask a Concierge. So she's one of the top concierges in LA. She can tell us where all the hidden secrets are, hidden gems, you know, how to get those hard to get tickets to the game and things like that. Sarah's going to do it for us. So that's going to be pretty good. Making it right. Now, this is something I just added. Last week I had mentioned Abby Fernandez, right? And I could not think for the life of me, I could not think of the hotel that she represents or the resort that she represents. So I have to make it right today, right? Because I said I have to go back and remember where she worked. But anyway, so today is that day. So Abby, if you're listening, I do apologize for, you know, it slipped. I'm having a senior moment. But Miss Abby Fernandez, she is with Kaloa Landing Resort on Kauai, on the island of Kauai in Hawaii. So it's a Marriott Autograph Collection hotel or resort, but it's Kaloa, K-O-L-O-A, Landing Resort on the island of Kauai. It's an Autograph Collection. So I have to say that several times because, like I said, I really felt bad about it and I had to come back and let everybody know. So if you're interested, you can go check out the website, KaloaLandingResort.com. KaloaLandingResort.com. But if you have a group for them, call me first and I'll take care of it for you. All right. So that's just for single reservations. If you need single reservations, go ahead and go to the site and make them. But if you need group reservations, you're interested in bringing a meeting, a retreat, a conference to Hawaii, you want to go to the Kaloa Landing Resort on Kauai, you never been there, let me know. We'll take care of it for you. Introduction of today's topic. What am I talking about today? I'm going to talk about interviewing. Did you know that when you go on an interview, it's just as important for you to interview them as it is for them to interview you? So you need to ask the right questions, right? And I came up with this just last night because I was talking to a friend about interviewing for this one particular job or hotel. And it's always good if you know someone that's worked at that hotel before, either they're currently there or they previously worked there. So they can show you or tell you where all the bodies are buried. If it's a good fit, or if it's not, is the culture in the hotel, is it good? Is it conducive for you? I mean, there's a lot of things that you should ask them, you know, goals and things like that. So I have a list of them, right? I'm not just randomly just throwing this out. I have a list of questions. So that's one of the topics. And I have another topic that has to do with commission, the commission effect. Remember Marriott and Hilton and I think Hyatt or IHG, they took away 3% of the 10% commission that meeting planners used to get. Well, I have some results of a survey that was given to independent meeting planners and what they thought about it and all that stuff. So we're going to go over that too. Excuse me. You're on air with Russell of Hotels. So I'm just going over some of the things that you should ask in an interview. One, first, I already mentioned this, contact people that have worked there before. Okay, ask questions about the culture and the leadership of that hotel, the company or management company. Because, you know, a lot of the hotels that we want to work at or we currently do work at are not owned or managed by the sign that's on the building. So you want to find out exactly, because you may know somebody else that works for, I know someone that works for ABC Management Company. So you always want to make sure you know or contact someone that you know that used to work there or currently does work there. Because you want to get their opinion on, you know, what's going on. You think I would fit in? I currently do this market. What do you think about, you know, did that last person make their goals? You know, those are questions you need to ask them. And they should not be ashamed to answer those questions. Because if they are, then maybe that's not the hotel you need to work for. What do you think? Number two, why is that position vacant? People are afraid to ask these questions, right? Well, why is it vacant? Did that person get promoted? That person, I mean, they may not tell you if they terminated that person, they probably just say, well, that person's no longer here, you know, whatever. They'll kind of skirt around that. But it's going to lead to other questions. But I wouldn't be afraid to ask that. Why is that person not there anymore? Why is that position vacant? So that's a question you can ask them. Number three, were they successful? That opens up and you try to ask open-ended questions because were they successful? Yes. Well, I would hope they would elaborate on that, but what defines success? That's a question I would ask too. Well, they made their goals and they were here on time and they did everything we asked them to do. Okay, that's a fair question. Okay, that's a fair answer. All right, but don't be afraid to ask those questions. Now, these questions, just so you know, were taken from a sales perspective, right? So meaning, you know, being a former salesperson, former director of sales. So the way I formed those questions were based on that. Okay, but you can still take some of these questions and use those if you're applying for operational positions as well. Did they make their goals? That's number four. Yes, they did. Okay. All right. What are their goals? What were their goals? And what were the goals be? Am I assuming their goals, or am I coming? Are you going to come up with new goals for me? Are these goals in effect? Or are you working on the fiscal year, or are you working on the calendar year? I mean, those are questions you should ask. That's probably more fiscal, would probably be more for a CVB or a DMO or anything like that. But hotels, from what my experience is, that they work on a calendar year, meaning January to, you know, December 31st. Okay, that's when the goals are there in effect during that time period. So you just may want to make sure, if it's a CVB or DMO or anything like that, DMC, make sure you ask that question. Tools or resources for success. Do I have the tools or resources? What tools do I need to do my job well? I mean, do you have, you know, the catering system or a sales system in place? If that's what CITY, or that's Isaac, I'm throwing that out there. Isaac, that was the old, I'm not sure if they still use Isaac. They still use Isaac for Starwood Hotels? Maybe some of them do. Sales Pro. Delphi, is it a new version of Delphi? Do I have those tools to do my job well? Those are questions you need to ask before you accept it, I sign it and send it in. I mean, those are things you need to know. And they may come up in an interview anyway, but if they don't come up in an interview, make sure you have your list of questions. Tools or resources for success. What are your expectations for this position? Ask the person that's interviewing you. What are the expectations? He or she should tell you. If it's a sales position, which markets would you be responsible for? I mean, they can always change them, but I mean, just for the purpose of that particular interview, what's the market segment that you're looking for? I mean, I know I'm applying for the Smurf sales manager, but is that in fact what you're looking for? Yes, we are, but you know, we may have some vertical markets and all this kind of stuff, and you may be handling, you know, not just Smurf, but you may be doing some, you know, pharma. I mean, I'm just throwing that out there, but you just never know unless you ask, right? Don't be afraid to ask the questions. What's the breakdown? I mean, as far as your annual group rooms, is it, you know, 20,000 for the year? Is it, you know, this is total department, total sales department, group room nights. What is the goal? You know, you want to make sure the team makes it, right? Is a team on pace to make it? I mean, those are questions you need to ask, because guess what? A bonus is attached to that somewhere. And that's another question you should ask. What about the bonus program? Do you have a bonus program? Because the salary may not be what you want, but if the bonus is there and they make bonus, maybe that'll be okay if you take a lesser salary, because you know you're going to be able to make bonus. But it's all depending on you, right? If you're going to make the bonus, or is it a team bonus? Individual, I mean, how's it break down? Some are just team bonus. Some can be individual. Some can be a mixture of the two. And what's the percentage? How does it break down? Is it paid out quarterly or annually or monthly? I don't know. Ask those questions. Don't be afraid. Know what you're going to get into before you take it. Star data, Star Report, Smith Travel Research. Where do you rank as far as your competition? I mean, you need to know these things. I mean, some people would just, because they never been shared that information. I worked at some hotels where they didn't share information with salespeople, but all information is good information as far as I'm concerned. So as a director of sales, I've always shared that information with my sales team, right? I mean, in an interview, you're not going to show them the report. But at least you can tell them what their ranking is. I mean, how do you rank towards your comp set? Oh, we're number 5 out of 10 hotels. Oh, okay. All right. You're right in the middle of the pack. Okay. There you go. What's your ADR? Are they going to give you the breakdown for the ADR and the RevPAR and the occupancy too? I don't know. But why not ask? At least that'll show them that you're knowledgeable about the STAR report. That can be a good thing as well. Have you driven the area? And that's not a question, but this is something. If I'm interested in working at a hotel, I'm going to drive the area and see exactly where this hotel is, what's around it, especially if I'm working specific markets. If I'm doing a corporate market, is any corporation around? I mean, what does anything coming inbound? I mean, do you have local corporate? I mean, it just depends, right? So drive the market, hang out in the hotel, see how things are going, see how the check-in process is. Are they screwing up reservations? Are people screaming and yelling and ticked off in the lobby? I mean, that shows a lot about a hotel. Just go to a hotel and just hang out, be a lobby lizard. Remember that term? Well, I'm going to be the lobby lizard today. You know, it's like the MOD program, right? But during the morning, you're the lobby lizard, or you're riding the elevator so you can, you know, hone in on conversations and hear about if they're talking bad about the hotel or anything, or their experiences and things like that. So I would, my last job at the Sheraton Universal, I spend some time there, meaning before I interviewed, I would hang out in their lobby just to see what was the flow of everything. And I don't know why I took that job. But anyway, based on what I saw, I still end up taking the job. Boy, anyway, I'm not going to say anything else about that. But make sure, you know, go and check out the hotel. It's okay. It's okay to spend a couple hours in the lobby just to see how things flow. Go to the restaurant, have lunch or have a meal there. See how the service is. See how, you know, people interact with each other. That is very important. Renovation scheduled. And because, you know, renovations and goals kind of can go hand in hand, right? So if we're undergoing this major renovation and I only have half the inventory to sell, well, why would my goal still be the same amount? But see, these are things you need to know before you take a job, right? Now, if you're already there and they're going through renovation, 9 out of 10 times, they're not going to redo those goals. But if you catch it before you start, like say, okay, you're supposed to start renovation when? Next month. Okay, if I start in 2 weeks, I want to make sure that my goals reflect that renovation that you're going under, because you said you're taking out half the inventory. I mean, these are things that I would bring up. I mean, I think they're important because you don't want to get into something that you can't. You can only control what you can control. But if you take a job and you just accept everything for what it is, that's all you can do. But if you can at least have a discussion about some of these things that I just brought up, it may save you some heartache. What do you think? I don't know. Anyway, okay, next topic. So that beats that topic, right? So we've talked about interviewing. So now we're going to get into meeting planners and the commission. Now, remember last year, excuse me, Marriott and let's say the big three, Marriott, Hilton, IHG, they came up with this thing. Well, Marriott started first, where they took away 3%. The commission base was maybe 10%. Well, they took out 3% and basically left you with 7%, right? So I was actually at this conference. It was called IPEC, and it stands for Independent Planner Educational Conference. So a lot of independents, like myself, I'm an independent planner. And I think there were some like Helms Briscoe, CD people there, Conference Direct and Helms Briscoe. Those are major meeting planning companies, right? So they were there represented as well. So there's a survey taken, pretty extensive, you know, how people thought, because we want to see what the effect of the commission cut, how did it affect your company? How did it affect your business? So that's what this is. So I'll go through these questions. Boy, I've been talking this long and I only got like 10 minutes to go. I mean, this is crazy, right? Just think if I had a guest here, I'd have to go till 3 o'clock. Anyway, which best describes your business? And I'll give you the percentage and the explanation, I guess. What best describes your business? 9% work for a large third party like a HB or a CD. 15%. And these are percentage of people that actually, you know, did the survey, right? Or out of 186 people, this breaks down. But I don't think it breaks down exactly. So don't try to add up the percentages and say, oh, they didn't equal 100%, because it's not going to equal 100%, okay? But anyway, 9% work for a large third party, like a HB or a CD. 15% of those people work for a small to mid-size independent meeting planning firm, and then 76% of those people, they're meeting professionals or business owners, so people like me. So 76% of the people that did this were like me, okay, that described their business. So I'm an independent planner, right? What percentage of your compensation is derived from commissions? Very important, right? 12% says 75 to 100% come from commissions. 8% of those people said 50 to 74%. Another 8% said 25 to 49%. 37% said less than 25% of their compensation derives from commissions. And 35% says, I don't accept commissions at all, meaning they get their money from somewhere, some other resource. And we'll talk about that. How do you price your services? 37% of those people, they said it varies by client. 28%, they only charge a management fee only. So basically, they're not accepting commission. They just charge a flat management fee, whatever that is. That's $1,000 for the meeting. That's what it is. I'm just using it as an example. 18% said commissions plus management fee, which I kind of do. 8% commission only, and 8% said other. I don't know what that other would be, but there you go. They don't accept anything. They don't want to get paid. If you accept commissions, how much revenue will you lose annually as a result of the cuts, meaning the cuts that Marriott, Hilton, and IG came up with? 11% of those people said less than $5,000. That's what they would lose, right, from the commission. 18% said $5,000 to $10,000. 12% said $10,000 to $20,000. 9% said $20,000 to $40,000. And 11% of those people said they would lose over $40,000 in commission because of the cut, because it went from 10% to 7%. So that's 3% or maybe 30%. Excuse me. Will the reduction of third-party commissions by some hotel companies affect your income? 17% yet said yes, severely. 30% said yes, somewhat. 22%, I don't accept commission, so no, it ain't going to affect me. 16% said not at all. And 15% said not much. Will you book hotels that have reduced commission payments? This is a good one right here. Will you book hotels that have reduced commission payments? So if it's a Marriott hotel in that area, are you going to like, I'm not going to book that hotel. I'm just not going to do it because they're only going to pay me 7%. So why do I want to put all this work in and they're not going to pay me? 49% said not a factor in my decision. 32% varies from client by client. 24% will try to avoid booking those properties. 17% will book if property compensates me for the difference. Now, I've heard some hotels are doing that, right? Where they have special programs or whatever that they'll pay you the whatever, the 3% difference. I have heard that. And I've also heard that CVBs would do that too. Is that true? I don't know. But they have some fund somewhere that they will compensate the meeting planner for bringing that business to the city. So if the hotel's only going to pay 7%, there's some CVBs that will pay that extra 3%. This is just what I heard. I have not seen that yet, but this is what I've heard. 11% will book if client pays me the difference. So client's going to pay me the 3%. 5% says I will not book those properties. Okay. Are you considering making any of these changes to your pricing structure? 19% increasing management fees for all clients. 16% are charging clients more if they choose a hotel with lower commission. 16% not booking the hotels that have reduced commissions. I thought that was a question via text, but it's not. 10% not taking commissions, offering fee-based service only. 27% said none of the above, and 12% said other. Are you considering any, next question, are you considering any of these changes to your business model? 21% offering a broader range of services, meaning they're diversifying, right? They're doing other things. They're not just solely doing sourcing or meeting planning. 19% says changing business model to be less reliant on commissions. Okay. 10% seeking a career outside the meeting industries. 10% said, you know what? Hasta mañana. I'm out of here. 8% changing careers within the meetings industry. 53% said none of the above. And 6% said other. Based on survey, has the reduced commission really affected the way we do business? I mean, that's the question. So based on some of that information, I got this information from Meetings and Conventions magazine. And like I said, IPEC is the one that did the survey. So, I mean, based on all the screaming and yelling that a lot of us did, I mean, if you listen to what I said, a lot of this stuff, it matters to some people, but didn't matter to everyone. So it seemed like it was almost half. You know, some of the people were okay with it, or it didn't matter, or it did affect them somewhat. But, you know, the other half, well, because you would think that if it was that big a deal that everybody across the board had been like, no, this is screwed up, we hate it, blah, 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 blah. But just based on the survey, and I'm just reading the numbers. Now, me personally, yeah, it affects business. Yeah, it affects, it doesn't, for me, but it doesn't affect, this is the thing with me, and I had this conversation with somebody earlier today. I'm going to present the hotels that are in that market. So if I'm looking to come to LA and they need to be in the Valley, and there's three Marriott properties out of five that I'm presenting, I'm going to present all the properties. Because at the end of the day, it's up to the client to make the decision, right? Now, if I'm the one making the decision, but it's always what's best for the client or the attendees. It's not about me. And I guess I need to diversify what I'm doing, meaning I cannot rely 100% on commissions. So I need to be charging a fee, a management fee, or however you want, a placement fee, however you want to do it or say it. But those are things you need to do. I actually wrote this article. It was In Search of 3%. That's what the search, that was the name of the article. And that article is actually on my LinkedIn page. So if you hadn't read it, just take a look at it, because it basically had to do with diversifying what you do. Now, when I mention on every show, what does the Russell of Hotels Group do, or what does it stand for, or yeah, whatever, those are the things that I do. So I don't rely 100% on the hotel site selection because of things like this. Even before this, the commission got taken away, 3% commission got taken away, I was still diversifying what I did, because you never know. I mean, it's out of your control what hotels choose to do, right? Yesterday or last year, it was, we're going to take 3%. Who's to say that it's not going to go higher? I mean, it's going to be 5%. Who's to say it's not? There's no guarantees, right? But there is a guarantee if you kind of diversify, you do, you know, some other things. If that's, you know, digital marketing, if that's task force, if that's all those different things that I do, then that's what you do. But and the reason why I do that, I just pull off my skill set. I just draw from whatever I know or whatever I knew, past jobs I had, and that's what I do. I mean, that's exactly what Russell Hotels is. It's just a basically it's all the stuff that I've done in the past during my career, and I try to apply that to a business. And that's what I did. I built this whole brand based on my past experiences. So when this whole 3% thing came up, yeah, we're all upset. You know, was it fair? Well, the companies can do what they want to do. All right. And I honestly don't think that a lot of the business that planners bring to hotels, the hotels wouldn't get it without the planners. Okay, so let's just throw that out there for everybody to hear. A lot of the business that comes to hotels, you would not receive it unless the planner brought it to you. And if that's an independent like me, if that's a Helms Briscoe person, a CD person, it doesn't matter. Because that relation, you're paying for the relationship. The relationship is between like myself and the client. So it's my job to bring the client to you, to the hotel, right? So that's what I think. Even for CVBs or whatever, CBBs are not, or you have to rely. It's just an extension of your sales force, and that extension of sales force, you need to pay them, and that's the commission, right? But now there's going to be some pushback, I tell you that, right? And now, you know, hotels are coming up with, okay, you know, for this, we have these need periods. Hotels are always going to have need periods, right, where they're going to start offering higher commission or get that 3% back or whatever. So it's coming. It's already been there, right? So it's going to continue to come. So just do what you do, and you'll be getting that 3%, I'm telling you. Because, like I said, the pushback is going to be pretty good. And I just don't think that, and I'll just say this, I just don't think that the business that the hotels get, a lot of it they would have received without the aid of a third party. That's all I'm saying. What do you think? Let me know. Email me. Let me know. Am I off base? Am I just talking out of something else? Or do you agree with me? Let me know. But anyway, we're going to wind down here. Thank you so much for joining or tuning in to the On Air with Russell of Hotels radio show, live radio show, right? So I do appreciate that. I can't function without you guys. Any questions at all, please feel free to email me. Go to my website. If you want to call me, go to my website. My phone number is on there. Just reach out, and I'm here, always available, always accessible to have a conversation. So hope all is well for you today. Enjoy the rest of your day. Enjoy the rest of your week. We'll see you next Tuesday. And thank you again for joining On Air with Russell of Hotels. Peace.
Thank you for joining On Air with Russell of Hotels. Please tune in every Tuesday at 1 p.m. as we talk to other hospitality professionals. Your feedback is important. Email Russell at russell@russellofhotels.com with any questions or suggestions. Until next time, try not to be a person of success, rather become a person of value.